This morning, I would like us to turn to 1 John chapter 4. The epistle of John chapter 4. The first epistle of John chapter 4. And we'll read verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In understanding our text this morning, I would like us to inquire three things. But our subject this morning is love that expels fear. I say, and I pray, yes, I'm a bit of a dream over here. A bar, a ye, a stroke, a few. Now, a ye, if you, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Now, I say, So in understanding this text, the first thing I want us to look at is what fear does perfect love expels, or what fear does perfect love cast out. And the second thing is, what are the torments of this fear? And the third thing is, how perfect love expels this fear. The air can say, you better share a strobe and a say or do a dimuno a yifiho. And I did this to me, you know, a DNA, a hotel, and I said, when you hear what's that, show you. Now, the other me, and some say, Messima, a doya, I do know, it to me is a show you if you want. Okay, so to begin with, what fear does perfect love cast out or expels? And when we look at fear as it is used in the Bible, it refers to either to fear a thing as an object of terror, or to fear a thing as an object of reverence. It's either a reverential fear or a terrible fear. A fear that causes, what's the word to use? Causes pain. And also a fear that is also out of respectable love. So the apostle here speaking of fear here, he's giving us the fear of the first view, which is a fear that causes pain or terror. The apostle not chair in verse 18 or chair is yao. So it is the thought of a common view that wherever there is the absence of perfect love, there is always fear in human heart, in the whole world. It's a common thing. Yeah, man can try to do other things to cover his fears, wherever. Now, wherever the true love of God is not known, there is bound always to be a fear. A fear of punishment, a fear that whatever we do, we think is not right. Say, a castle, say, a idea in him says, baby, I hope not done, you know, Debian, we'll try to prove this as we go on and see how we can draw from what we are looking at. So indeed, the fear he's speaking about is the guilt that overwhelms a sinner when he thinks about God's holiness and justice. A sooner Apostle John can was a sure diboyeni ah onisho diboyeni no who say yaku ponsi obi oye konko na oye obi oye pepere ah who say yaku onso yaku poeni ah onu ana kumi no bunu hufono sa a sure ebanisho sa a sure na John eka who was a mohano. It's a fear that overwhelms a guilty sinner. But you know, this fear, I mean, to begin with, we shall see that at the end of our lesson, our meditation on this thing, we see that this fear, it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that casts out such fear from the heart of every known sinner. From the heart of everyone who is a sinner. And I'm sure the whole world, everybody says, nobody can say he's not a sinner. So long as you are born into this world, you are a sinner, you and I, we are all sinners. As I say,
I'm not a sinner.
So we'll continue, and at the end we'll see this. All persons everywhere have some clearer or defective view or a belief of the existence of God. Nobody can deny that. And naturally, in the mind of everyone, we think about accountability. I mean, it's a natural thing God has given us. See, the idea of us being independent between Yankupon. What do you say? Independent between Yankupon. Now, and it is this that atheists, those who say that, oh, they don't believe there's any God, they try to take it away from their conscience so that they will say, oh, there's no God. But it's a liar. It's a hypocrisy. Nobody is born an atheist. Nobody is born an atheist. They call themselves atheists. Before they call themselves atheists, they were having that fear. And they will try to suppress it by other things to make themselves feel better. Nobody is born an atheist. It's a hypocrisy to call, for somebody to call himself an atheist. So in rejecting God, they claim that if truth there's God, then he must be an austere man, he must be a tyrant who exacts too much from us. That's all. Anyone who says an atheist will tell you, if you tell about God, say, oh, your God is a God, that does not make you happy. He takes too much of your happiness and all that. You see, so they suppress such fear. You see, I mean, naturally, no being home one or yeah, or between us and upon you. And I still go home from 80s, almost in a mini home. And I can say, Obi no more, if you say, young woman, so I'm Obi or Baba say, or Cassia Coupon, or Nemona, at the actual who say, Omuja Sanya Coupon, and then a hypocrisy to cover up sin so that they can go on with their sin, and that, I mean, there will be nothing that to shame them of their sin. So that is what they try to pursue. And many in this world nowadays are pursuing such forces. And also, we look at this kind of thought. Though many people who go to church will say that, oh, they are not atheists. I mean, they go to church, they worship, they do all these things. But in practice, many are almost like atheists. People act as if there's no God. People think as if there's no God. It's no different from somebody who, affirming that I'm an atheist. There's no difference in that. You see, people are bringing a class, right? I'm saying, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to say, and it's in a way saying that he's an atheist, that there's no God, and that. And yet, such people claim they are the children of the Most Holy God. God is holy. I'm his servant. I claim to be his child. And yet, my thoughts, my words, my actions doesn't match him. And I claim to be his because I go to his church, I participate in worship, maybe I give to church, I do whatever, I mean, on the outside, everybody does. So I call myself, I'm a worshiper of God, I'm a child of God. No, it's no different from others who think that there is no God. But if we think that there's God, for instance, if my father or my mother stands in front of me and he sees what I'm doing, I'll do the right thing. So in my mind, if I think God is not around, so I can do anything I want, I'm not different from somebody who says I'm an atheist. Okay, so that's another fear that these people try to get out of their mind so that they can do whatever they do. But this hypocrisy, whether an avowed atheist or somebody who is a churchgoer, but still trying to keep himself, do things out of his own will and not seek after the right will God has given us in his way, as a hypocrite. Until such things are repented of, and then turn to Christ and look upon the blood of Christ that he shed on the cross of Calvary, such attitude has been a religious, and yet not having the true forgiveness of Christ in our hearts, such and covering up. Though we don't have, but we cover it up. Such things will lead us finally in hell, and we will never. By the time we appear before God, we will be surprised. I thought I was serving. I thought I loved you, but then it will be a waste of time. So until we have also come and trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, wherein there's forgiveness for sin, and He has forgiven us and given us His Spirit to confirm that He has purchased us with His blood. Until we have also done that, and God has confirmed some things to us, we are not different from others who claim that there is no God. And ze ko pim so mo nga han so ku se Kristo be wo Calvary e mo mo boni mo mo do mo ra she ni mu ma ni mu ja wo mo boni ho e ma wo boni ho ho kon kon mo mo ah e che so waje o mo nkwa o te so mo isa ni o ma no eh so mo mo so mo ni nyoba mo ye nyi ano e so nya me ni na o mo betumi akoso sa na o kon sam jem no mo ni be hu se o ma ye ade a e na so mo ye. There's another thing also that teaches us about this fear. It's about the conscience of right and wrong. You know, the conscience of what's right and wrong. Even a baby, when he does something which is wrong, he sees that it's wrong. I mean, naturally, God gives us, which makes us different from animals. And I'm sure we know. Animals don't have conscience. Yes, animals can try. I mean, some animals have a bit of remember what they do and all that, and, but they don't have conscience. Animals don't have conscience. We have. And God gave us our conscience so that we'll be accountable to Him. He's the moral, I mean, judge of the whole earth. And He gave that so that it will be like a check on our mind. So that you yourself, we condemn ourselves that we are sinners. Because our conscience teaches us. So that our conscience, which God has placed in us, which was to make us feel guiltless, to love and fear Him reverently, has turned otherwise to be dreadful because of sin. You know, God gave Adam, when He gave that conscience, we also have it. And it was the best thing for man to have. So that man would think of God and love Him with a respectable fear, with so reverence, with so love. But because of sin, this reverential fear that should come out of we having conscience has turned out to be dreadful, has turned out to be terrible. So that though now we have that special gift as conscience, it is now terrifying us. It is now terrifying everyone who lives in this world. Whether you know what God has revealed or not. I mean, go to the forest, I mean, the forest of the Amazon. Those who have, they don't have any Bible, they don't have any revelation word of God, and yet they have rules. They know when you do this is wrong, when you do that is right. It's not, I mean, God gives that gift to everyone who comes to this world. And also, some of us who have known the ways of God, okay, to teach us this and this is wrong and that is wrong. The Ekanister, Nyakuponso, my adren, I mean, on my end, Omukura omuhu nyame asem da omofo esim bebe fa amazo no omukura no munim se papa ne bone omunim de ye omunim de nye. So God has given us all this to show us that what conscience to check us, and now that conscience taking us to terrify us when we are still in our sin. This terrible fear comes from sin, so that produces much ignorance to the true nature of God, particularly His holiness and justice. Because of this terrible fear of the guilt of sin, every sinner sees God as a tyrant. Until I've come to Christ and my sins have been forgiven me, and that I have come, have given the heart to love God, I see God as a tyrant, as I said of the 80s. Why should God bother me that much? Yeah, He has made me, and I should live my life, and as nowadays they say, live your life. I should live my life and have my freedom, and after you, whenever you want to put me, He should put me. Why should He terrify me? When I think of His holiness, it terrifies me. When I think of His justice, because God must punish every sin. And then fear comes in. And awareness of this makes God really, really terrible, fearsome to every unrepentant sinner. Yes, Obia, Onyasa, and Tia, who said, Onyanko Point, Kronkrona, or Hansu, Obio, Oye, Perpayan. Now, Oshan also had the Boyenino, and my Shrubanim, and Mohun who said, Yanko Point, I said, the Kronu Hoydachin. It is of this fear that motivates many who claim to be believers to perform some outward religion. Okay, I wake up in the morning, I read some Bible. He claimed to be a Christian. He goes to church, so he claimed to be a Christian. I read a portion of scripture. I'll say some prayers for myself, like the publican and the Pharisee. I mean, the prayers that they pray. Attend some church services and participate in some convenient, Christian services, while at the same time holding on to their darling sins and sinful characters. This is the fear of hypocrites. I mean, somebody who is a hypocrite. He would put out outward religion. Oh, Osorano Pa, Obekai Babo Kakra. I mean, Obebon Pai Kakra. Obekwa, sorry. Obey no man, name of Nakume Mugwane dear. I said that. And yet, you know, God, I mean, for us to be people of God, He rules in our hearts. And then He covers it. And because of this fear, He knows that, oh, let me do this thing to satisfy God so that my conscience will help. Oh, at least I go to church. At least I read my Bible. At least I pray. Oh, I mean, God, I'm doing some. So to cover up such fear. So these people also carry on. So these people seem to also, unlike the atheists who try to suppress their fear by casting God from their God. These people seem to be religious people trying to do some things, and yet they keep their darling sins. And yet that sin that causes fear. It's that thing that causes fear that John is talking about. And I can say, Omonoso, Omfus, Omoyede, Asonyamini, so that Bonina Bema, almost Shunyamino, Nakoma Junior Con and Tomako Penny, and the Bonifatian, Nomakatas, not Bonnet, the Omo Donation of Women. And no, and I can say, and Money Pied and Yaku Ponit, Miss Moya Kong Kong, and Miss Moya training. So, but if this kind of fear that teaches that we are guilty, if really considered by everyone who is a sinner, it will move such person to go to Christ. When we come to reality of our sin, we understand it by the revealed word of God, that sin, I mean, we will die in our sin, we don't repent and come to Christ and believe on Him as our Lord and Savior, it will lead us to Him. But if we try to cover this sin, we'll go far away from Him, and then we'll go far away from God. And then our fear, we thought that our fear is covered, as I said before, it will go to our final day. That all our religion, all our prayers, all our giving, all our participating in church activities were nothing, because what God wants to take it out from our heart to clean this fear from us. But how can we go to God if there's that fear? See, that this fear is like I've done somebody wrong, and on the street he's coming. Then I begin to come. Should I pass here? Should I go there? So that's the kind of fear I'm talking about. So like I have wronged God, I've sinned against Him. And I have to go and meet Him one day. How am I going to go to His presence? And not just that I've wronged Him. The sins or the things I have done with my life, God is going to punish me. And such things bring fear into the heart of all those who have not gone to Christ to get rid of that fear. So it is a fear of what? Shame of sin in the heart of every creature. It's a fear that, I mean, it's in the heart of everyone when he looks at God rightly as God is, that God is holy and just, and God must punish every sin. Then that fear, that chills come to me. Like a child in a house, daddy has given some rules. He breaks it. Daddy is going to come maybe the next day. He cannot sleep, but daddy is coming. Therefore, he's going to punish him. So that's the idea. But God, who is love, is also just and holy. But nowadays, people talk of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God, and yet they leave out the justice of God. If we cover our sins that God is love, the day of judgment will expose to us that God is just and holy. It will reveal to us. Okay, so that is the fear we are talking about. The fear that came to us because of our sin. It's because of our sin. As I said before, that Adam and Eve initially didn't have such fear. They rather had a reverential fear to God. But when they sinned, they fell into this kind of fear. So what are the torments of this fear? And then, love casts out fear, because fear has torment. This kind of fear torments us. It torments humans from all generations. Since Adam fell, since sin came into this world, there has always been this fear in everyone who comes to this world. So what torment does this fear gives us? Firstly, it is this feeling of dread towards God as holy and just, who had appointed a day in which He would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men in that He has raised Him from the dead. This is Acts chapter 17, verse 31. The feeling injects restlessness into the mind of a sinner who have not repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the appointed Savior and Judge. You see, interestingly, God, who has appointed Christ to be the Savior of the world, He has appointed Christ also to be the Judge. Just last week, I was listening to the radio and I heard that there was a driver, and I think in the morning he insulted a man. He never knew, and the man was a judge. And I think during the day he did a similar offense, and the person did to him, they didn't take it lightly. He took him to the police station, and they took him to court. And lo and behold, when he went there, the judge was the one sitting in the seat. And the judge knew him. How terrible that would be. This is the same thing. Christ is the Savior of the world, and he is the judge. He is not offering his grace and mercy to us that he has died on the cross of Calvary for sin. But when we reject this, at the day of judgment, he must judge us according to the justice of God. God who never, in whose face there can never be a speck of sin. The can say, Any sin in our life, no matter how big, small the world will tell us, you know, we know this will be categorized sin. Oh, some sin, oh, murder is a great sin. Fraud is a great sin. But lies and maybe insult and envy or some things now nobody sees. Oh, I mean, I don't hurt anybody. Okay, all those will be exposed that day. So this is the fear of a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27. Yesura ada tembu dano ebe shi efe nisay ebe ma adwanyo fo nyasi beshi ebe ji ume fiyo mwa jama kumbo von samji. So this is a dread. If I should think of God and his justice, it comes to my heart. And then it makes me run to Christ. But if I don't think right of who God is, I would think, yes, I'm a sinner, and still move around happy, thinking that God will also pamper me at the day of judgment. Secondly, we look at this torment. It is this torment of fear that influenced the mind of restless Adam to go into hiding when he heard the voice of God, which before was a darling and reverence to him. That knows you. When Adam sinned, when God came, and the Lord called Adam unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" When he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid." Why now? He was a friend of God. He respected God. He wanted God to always be around him. And now he's what? Going to hide. He's going to hide. Because he now fears. As I told you before, now fear has come in. It's a picture of a guilty conscience stricken sinner who loves darkness rather than light. I have seen my sin, but I'm running still from the light. He told me to go back to God so that God will do what he will do to me and forgive me of my sin. Clean me by the blood of Christ. I suppress it. And then I move on in life. So many people in that time, they know, yes, they are sinners. But, I'm a sinner, but what? But you have moved to Christ so that this sin is taken away. My fear will remain. The third thing is that it is the torment of fear that captivated the mind of Felix. Do you remember the governor Felix, whom Paul stood in Acts chapter 24? Paul and Felix and Agrippa. And you know, Paul, while he was defending himself of the accusation against him, he also preached the gospel. And the Bible said that as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Paul touches on things that God, Felix was a judge coming to judge Paul, but Paul also told him there's a greater judge than him who looks upon the life from every man and judges according to righteousness. And then Felix, per history, they say Felix was a very bad man. I mean, he was a proud man and all that. So thinking of the judgment to come and temperance, how you have to avoid things and all that and do things that are moderate and all that. Felix thinking himself, he trembled. Then who am I? If there's such a God, Felix was a Roman, military man, and I'm sure he doesn't know much about God. And yet when he heard about God, he trembled. It's a similar thing, that when, anyone hears about God and really knows it. But what does Felix, what did he do? When you read the account, he said that Paul should go his way for this season, and next time he'll call him again. And he never called Paul. The next time he called Paul for Paul to bribe him so that he would let him go. He is still continuing his sin. So you see, some people tremble at their sin and feel themselves as guilty. Yeah, they move on with their sin by covering with other things which they think is them. And so it's true when you know Felix when you be talking about Paul judge and him now Felix the bullet and now Felix was a judge. Then so Paul catcher and makes my Paul train and then makes my or send pattern of him and then I think go I bebano Philip Felix name she shim. It's a sir and she share war and it's true ma nipa home tunnel and no name is how it's true I can was ready by. And the MCC, no. I'm my one who makes me a stray before the moment or sip on call, let an apple about. They do baby no friend for say, come and commit your bribe of man, no jar uncle. You see, a man committed on himself, but still continuing in his sin. Another torment is that the torment of fear, which was commonly widespread throughout human history, when people, worship demons and who all practice of human sacrifice out of terror to appease God for man's guilt. When people, in general, God did not reveal his word, to the world at large. People were worshipping demons. Even our own ancestors, where were they? They were in the forest worshipping human sacrifices and everything. What were they doing that they thought they are appeasing their gods? And some of them, they said they had a god they never knew. They created them for the bigger god they have not known. And it moves them to sacrifice something. Because they know that themselves, they have done something wrong, so they want to do sacrifice. So that is the cause of all idolatrous sacrifices, human sacrifices, and many animals that they killed. But they did this in unbelief and blindness. They thought, oh, there's a God, we have to appease him. But is that how God wants us to appease him? So you see that before, God revealed his true word to us, how it ought to be worshipped. People erected images. To worship, I think they have to worship because they know that there's a supreme being beyond them that they by their lifestyle, they have to appease because they have done things that are not right. So they worship the unknown God out of fear, like the Athenians of Paul. I remember in Paul chapter 16, when Paul went to Athens, they have erected one big placard calling to the unknown God. They have given it so many images, but this God we don't know. We are sure we have worshipped so many idols, but there's a God we might not know. So let's just put this placard for him, just to appease our conscience, so that we can offer sacrifices unto him. And Paul, you remember the preacher of Paul, he told them that there's only one true God, and he told them that God in years before led men to walk in their own ways, but at this time has called all men to repent of sin and to come to Christ, so that this superstition and fear will be taken away. So if you look at the superstition and myth of our own African traditional sacrifices and the kind of things that our ancestors have done, it's evident that every man is a sinner and always wants to seek the way to appease, whether falsely or in the right manner. Okay, it teaches that man, is imperfect and always man wants a way to approach God. And man also has known that there should be something done to appease the God that we have sinned against. So the Bible tells us what? There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. All these nations that worship idol, made sacrifice even of humans to appease God, never knew that God himself has given a mediator between him and the sinful man, which is the man Jesus Christ, so that we approach God without fear when we go to God through Jesus Christ, because he covers our sins. Before God, God sees him, he's pure and righteous, and God is happy with us. Else we appear before God with our sin, with our ragged, sinful life, ragged being before him. So Jesus Christ is a mediator between us and God. And when we come to him and see his sacrifice on the cross, and we put our faith and rest our hopes on him, he forgives us our sins, and God takes away such fears from our heart and grants us access unto him. So and the third point to look at that, how perfect love casts out fear. So we have seen the fear, we have seen our second point was the torment of this fear. We have seen the torment of the fear. And the third, how perfect love casts out fear. How perfect love casts out fear. How this love, we see in our text, how does it cast out fear? If we think through the text, you might think, how this love, how does it cast out fear? Though, when I was speaking about that a little, but I want us to delve a little bit into this. But perfect love casted out fear. Perfect love is the kind of love that only God can give. You know, in humans, we love one another, we have brotherly love, and other love in association, love in whatever, because we are social beings. But this is not the love he's talking about. It's not a love, I mean a common love. So in the Greek word, they use the word agape, which is love that comes from God, pure and without any defect. Okay, it's agape love in the Bible. They have different words for the other loves, but this particular love John is talking about here is what? Agape love, to differentiate it from all other loves. They can say, John and Kawa Hano. I see Greek, when you are agape, or you see somewhere not to add chairs, I don't know, and so because you do be a nipanim. And yet, do a nipa, and you have one, this is the point of the Amaya. So, such love is perfect, infinite, it has no deficiency, it is so thoroughly, and that because the source of such love is the perfect God. When we know God who is and his perfection, and if that love is coming from him, you see, it's perfect. Your God is perfect and holy and righteous altogether. You see, when we act as men, whatever we do, we have imperfection. All around that is imperfection. Everything created is imperfection. We see kingdoms come and go, individuals, our lives, we come and go, and many things come, and even our own health, we are growing, and things changes. But the love of God to us never changes. It is the same, so wide, but still, he applies it to us. So his love is perfect because it does not diminish, it's boundless and pure, it makes sinners saints and fit for heaven. Think of every kind of love humans have. It can never make an ant fit for heaven. What about human love? Well, the highest love we can have among ourselves, an ant cannot be made for heaven. But this pure love of God makes the most wretched sinner sin for heaven when he comes and trusts in our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we will see that he manifested this love to us and through Jesus Christ, and which he offered him for all. So this love was manifested. This love was manifested on the cross of Christ. You know, generally we all enjoy the love and the mercy of God. The rains and our common lives and whatever we enjoy, they are all from the love of God. Because if God is not loving, none of us should be living. Because if he should punish us according to our sins, none of us should be living. But God is love, and still, things are going on. But this is not the love we are talking about. It's the love that was concentrated on Calvary. The love that he manifested it on Calvary. The highest love that God ever manifested it unto us. So therefore, it has pleased God to manifest his own love to the children of Adam who are sin and guilty of their sin, thereby having such a fear of being punished, for some time, so that when we come and we approach God through by his love, then we have confidence to come to him, perfect love without fear. Then we also ourselves have such perfect love to come to return to him. God has manifested it unto us. So when we also come to him through that has love, then we also come with a perfect love, because it was through Christ that he manifested such things for us. Because also this love is where he manifested his forgiveness and reconciliation. Man has become an enemy of God and has to be brought together to God. So when God manifested such a perfect love, it is through which he manifested his forgiveness and his reconciliation. Man could never have done anything to please God, but through God's own love, he showed us the way to come for forgiveness and also to be reconciled back to him, so that we can come to his presence without any fear of sin, any fear of judgment. So in the First John account you read in verse 9, he says that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is the manifestation of God's love, to send forth his only begotten Son into the world. It is highest form of love. We don't have words to explain how it is. But humanly speaking, we cannot show such love. So God must show us such love. So it's a perfect love from Him. Jesus Christ is the expression of God's love to us. Jesus Christ is the expression of God's love to us because God gave His Son, His dearest, His only begotten Son. He gave Him to be the Savior of the world. There was no Savior. When man sinned and man was hiding, man was afraid, there was no Savior. Man cannot produce anyone to stand in between him and God. But God Himself appointed, ordained Christ so that He, through Him, man can come to Him so that our sins will be forgiven us. Then anger of our sin, the wrath of God against our sin will be taken away so that man can have free access to God. You can say, Jesus Christ, I am a Christian. So God, in order to expel this tormenting of sin guilt in our hearts, sent His only Son to be the propitiation for us. The word propitiation means like the mercy seat or the one that takes away sin. So He made His Son to be the one to take up the sin taker. Also, when you take up the atonement in the Old Testament, in the time of Israel, before when they are coming to appease for their sin, they will bring an animal and they will put their hand on it, and then one of the animals, they will let it go into the desert, taking away their sin, and another one, they will put their hand on it, then they will sacrifice it to appease for their sin. So Christ has come. All those things were figures standing in when Christ will come to perfect His mediation. So when Christ came, He was sacrificed. He was sacrificed on the cross. He shed His blood. He took our sin with Him. According to the Bible, we say what? All the handwriting of ordinance that were against us, He took them and nailed them into His cross. So when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then forgives this sin, then I'm reconciled back to God. That is why when Christ was born, the angels were happy. Because the angels knew that man now has salvation. Angels were happy because now they are not going to have others who come to the family of God. Because without Christ coming to this world, man would never have come back to the family of God. We have gone to hell forever, and only those that come to Christ, only of those who have come to trust in Him and brought back to God again through His sacrifice on the cross, that we are made to be people of God. So when we come to this, and we have come to this propitiation God has set forth for us, and then the dread of enmity is expelled from our hearts. The believer, while he lives in this world, because his sins are forgiven, now have no fear. If I come to Christ and my sins are washed out, I have no fear. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation of what? Of our guilt, which gives us the fear. When I come to God, there's no more condemnation. That doesn't mean I should continue in sin. Those Christ are saved, the seed of God is sown in them. They cannot sin. As John will tell you, it's not that they cannot really sin. They cannot continue in any known sin. Immediately they know it, they bring it to God. And God gives the power to live a holy life. So that they have no fear of sin. Because even when there's a sin I fall into, I come to Christ. He washes me. I don't continue in them. I repent of it. Day after day, I strive to live a holy life. So you see, I live a life without me myself, I know, because I am helped to live a holy life to Him. And before God, because of Christ, I am totally without any condemnation. I don't dread the day of judgment. Yes, I know the day of judgment will come, which is there, but it doesn't put me to fear because my Father has saved me. So by this, the Lord Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to shed His precious blood, to pay the debt of sin due to us. He suffered the punishment that was due to us. Whether a child, an adult, whoever, whatever sin any man has done, we deserve to be hanged, but He hung there for us. He took the shameful death because of you and I and our sins. So what we have to do is to come to Him. And this shows us the perfection of love. That God should love us, sinners, nothing. In this world, how do we love? we love because of what we get. That also, you cannot love somebody just love it, but God just loved sinners such as us because of his own son, because of his own, how he wants to manifest his love to us. He loved us freely, not that he'll get anything from us, rather to give us his mercy. So in conclusion, although God has manifested such love to pay the debt of sin, yet each one of us here, until we have also come to Christ and ask of him of his pardon, of his forgiveness of our sin, we will never taste the love of God into the world. So in Christmas, joy to the world, the Lord has come, people sing of it. But I should ask myself, do I have such love to my heart? This love is to cast out fear, as John is saying. The perfect love that casts out fear is the love of God that God has manifested to us through Christ. And when I sing of this hymn, is it also in my heart? Until I have repented of sin, until I have let go of whatever I'm holding, darling, in that place, how can that love come into my heart when I'm filling my heart with other things? It can never stay. The love is from God of light, without sin, and it's pure. How can that perfect love come to indwell darkness? It cannot. When it comes, it has to expel the darkness. So if I don't allow it, my darkness will remain, and I'll remain a sinner. So my question to each one of us, have you also believed? Have you come to see the Savior? Have you given your life to him? And you know, in this world, there are so many fears we have because of sin. Not only the guilt before him, the uncertainties of tomorrow. But when I come to Christ, I know Christ is still the same. He never changes his love to me. So whatever I'll face tomorrow, I have hope. You see, that is why in Ephesians it said that those who have not believed, they are people that live without God, they have no hope in this world. But when I've come to Christ, I have hope. Whatever my life will be, God, channels, and I know that Christ is there for me. It's the best thing he wants for me. And God will never withhold anything that is good for me from me, since I trusted in him. And then, fear of sickness or whatever, he will be with me. Because his word, promises. Until I've come to him, all such promises will be nothing to me. He will be with me in sin. No. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. And I'm in the valley of shadows of death. I'm a candidate there. No. Someone who beheld in the shadows of death and darkness, someone who is in light, which afflictions are falling on him. So until I've come to Christ, there are many, I'm losing everything. If I should gain the whole world and I lose this love that God gives, I've lost everything. All the world will mean nothing when this love has not come to expel this fear. Because at the day of judgment, we shall all stand before God. And those who have this fear still in them because of their sin, they will be judged. And then their dread will increase when they are cast to hell. But when this fear is cast out, where I'm living today, then I'm sure I'm a candidate of heaven. So may we all think on this. And think, if you have not come to Christ, to come to him, for he is the one who takes away sin and its fear and its punishment. May the Lord help us and grant us more understanding on these things. Shall we pray together?